Welcome to ShollyCast, the podcast all about Lolly and Shota, including Not Safe for Work. ShollyCast is hosted by me, Hydro, and Dr. X. We're the developers of Insexual Awakening, a straight Shota visual novel game with incest, lollies, MILFs, onesans, and even a femboy character if you play Insexual Awakening 2, our sequel. If you'd like to play our games, you can download them at our official Barag at barag.net/cyberhex. And if you'd like to support Insexual Awakening's continued development and this podcast, you can join our Subscribestar at subscribestar.adult/cyberhex. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to ShollyCast, everyone. Once again, I'm Hydro, and I'm with Dr. X, my co-host. And for this episode, we are joined by a lolly artist known as Wisteria. Welcome, Wisteria.
Hey.
Welcome.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you.
I'm a fan of the podcast for the while, actually, so it's really an honor to be with you guys.
Yeah, we're happy to have you.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, we've definitely had previous guests who have listened to our podcast, you know, for several episodes, and then they get really excited when they're finally on, and you know, I can understand that.
I mean, I first did not expect at all to, like, show up. If they just came out of the blue, yeah, it's awesome.
You were on my list for a while, honestly, and we finally got to you. Happy you accepted. As we said, you are a lolly artist. What kind of lollies do you usually depict, and like what kind of scenarios? What do you usually like to draw in terms of lolly art?
For me, I like to draw lollies in kind of like, I would say more like fashionable kind of, like dolls almost, like dress up dolls basically, right? I guess lately I've been kind of on hiatus, but when I started drawing lollies, which had been about 20, even shortly after I got my digital drawing tablet, which should have been 2014, 2015, and I really like to draw dresses and stuff, so I like looking up designs, and I like really, you know how like in children's books, usually see like those two little lollies that kind of like have those kind of dresses that poof out. This is kind of like the old-fashioned style of just a little girl. So I kept drawing that, and eventually that kind of evolved into, besides being an aesthetic fascination, obviously turned up, it became sexual. Eventually decided to post it online, but here we are.
Oh, nice. So you're really into the, like the fashion aspect of the like the dresses and stuff. Are there any like, is there like a specific kind of fashion that you're really into? Is like a Lolita or some other kind of fashion?
Yes, actually, I think Lolita would be a kind of good kind of like catch-all term for it. But I wouldn't say I'm in that kind of sphere. It's definitely a big source of inspiration. I'm definitely I like to keep like outside of that kind of art of the fashion, goes, it's like a whole separate thing, right? It's like a whole separate hobby, shall we say.
Yeah, I don't know much about it myself.
yeah, me neither, right? So I just look at it from like kind of like I'm just an observer and an appreciator, just on the outside.
Makes me think of the Buddy Daddy's ending, doesn't it, Dr. X, with all the different outfits and stuff? Even though it may not be the same genre, that's what it kind of reminds me of, is going through all the different outfits Miri is wearing in the ending.
Yeah, I can imagine Mysterio might like that, the ending of Buddy Daddy's, like the...
I don't know if I mirror that, actually.
It's a cool anime about two guys raising a young girl, a lolly. Pretty cute. I honestly prefer it over Spy Family, even though
yeah,
you know, Anya's great and everything, and Becky's great, but I prefer the story in Buddy Daddy's, actually.
Interesting. When did it come out?
Just like, I think just a year and a half ago. I think it was 2023. It was very, very recent, but see, it happened to come out right when Spy Family was like right really peaking with the season 2 or season 1, so it kind of got overshadowed.
Yeah, that'll do it, right? Yeah, funny thing, like I do draw a lot of lolly, right? But I don't actually keep up personally with like anime. I kind of like an observer almost. I obviously take a lot of inspiration from my anime characters, the anime style especially. But I don't actually participate in that kind of watching anime or getting manga hobby. This is a whole separate thing.
Yeah, we've had other guests on who do some kind of loli art or maybe loli drawing or something along the lines of that, but they're not really into anime. So yeah, we've got all sorts of people on the podcast.
Yeah, I do actually watch some of it, actually. It's just not necessarily related. I don't usually necessarily use that to like influence my art. Just as a you know, appreciator of the media, because lately I've been watching some like for anime, like EGTO or like Golden Boy, which is like 90s era stuff. Those are like shonen stuff that doesn't play well into the fast stuff I do for art.
Yeah, Golden Boy is a classic one that I've never seen, but I've heard of so much all the time.
Oh yeah. See, as an interesting character, main character, for people like me, if people like us think there's a lot to see in him of being like a kind of like impulsive, almost loser of character, but he has some qualities that does redeem him, or at least the way the story plays out. He's still a redeemable, lovable person, but definitely a very flawed, impulsive, you know, perverted character, obviously.
So you said you started in 2014. So did you start drawing with Loli, or did you draw other stuff before that?
So 2014 is about when I got my first drawing tablet, but before that I was in the Mal Pony and obviously the Friendship is Magic, Mal Pony Friendship is Magic, that came out around I think 2010, 11. But by the time it was 2014, it was at the peak of how like Mela's Brihia kind of obnoxious kind of like fan base, and I was definitely one of those, you know.
It got super popular. It was a fucking explosion, honestly.
Yes.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was a big explosion, kind of like a horde. All the internet, like 4chan, had to like make a whole containment board for it. It's full, you know.
You see, I actually was talking about this with Hydro the other day. Is that the evolution of like the My Little Pony, like the Brony stuff? It reminds me a lot of the furries a little bit.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Because initially, like people were like weirded out by the Bronies or whatever. But you know, the Bronies kind of held strong and started making their own communities.
Yeah.
And that's why they're still enduring to this day.
They're still strong.
Yeah, that's right. They're still enduring.
Yeah, still is, for sure.
And I mean, they even made their own like boards, like image boards.
Yes.
I'm sure there's like multiple of them.
Yeah, Derpy Buru.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I used to be really active on Derpy Buru. So like 2014, yeah, I got my tablet around the time. And before that, I was just drawing on paper and scanning it. Now I'd post it to Derpy Buru as myself. Because usually these Burus, right, presumably are like just an appreciator as collecting it from other sources like DeviantArt or Tumblr, uploading it to Derpy Buru. I was one of the people who uploaded their own art to Derpy Buru anonymously, actually, just for funsies. 2014, got a tablet, started getting to like drawing all these and like girls, humans. At first it started or as a way to like improve my art, because I saw the tablet as a way to like make it easier to like practice drawing really fast, you know, without having to like control set all the time on the paper. So I started drawing human anatomy, and then started drawing dresses, and then eventually started like getting into cute dresses, and that kind of snowballed.
Loli artist pipeline. You get interested in the cute dresses and then the lollies and then in the part.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it starts becoming a bit perverted. The gaze starts turning into parental, kind of like protective instinct gaze. It starts becoming, you know, devil's wires crosses, some people might say, right?
So your name, Wisteria, comes from a pony you like.
Yes, that is correct. Yeah, that is correct. Wisteria, Princess Wisteria. That character actually predates My Little Pony Friendship is Magic by, you know, probably like 3 years only. It was not a very well regarded era. The preceding one too. That was in Gen 3. My Little Pony Friendship is Magic would be about Generation 4. But my fascination with the MLP started out to Gen 3. Just as a kind of, yeah, it was a cartoon that you watch, they can watch, you know, on the television. So we just watch it. And I grew up, I want to say limited access to cartoons, but I did not have TV in home. So I had to get stuff recorded on a somewhere else, and I brought back to the home to watch it. And one of those, you know, that happened to have was My Little Pony.
So you gave it a try and you liked it?
Yeah. But yeah, so I didn't actually like that era that much, but when just Magic dropped, it was just natural to get really into that era, you know, especially for the hype surrounding fandom. I made my own OCs, a bunch of people on Tumblr and deviant art, but I never actually posted. I think I did post a deviant art. I was on very active there just occasionally.
So is Wisteria your favorite pony?
The first pony I remember, my earliest memory of an MLK character. I had definitely one of the main characters, one of the Generation 3 MLP stories. That's my favorite one that I like to watch over and over again. The Jid back in those days.
Do you have a favorite Friendship is Magic pony?
Oh, yeah. I would say favorite Friendship is Magic pony would be Twilight from the main six, Celestia for the princesses, Sootie Belle from the G-Bart Crusaders, Trixie as a villain.
Oh, those are good choices, yeah. Definitely some cute ponies. Hydra, what's your favorite pony?
You get the favorite ponies.
Oh, shit. I think I always liked Apple Bottom Jack, as I call her.
It's a good one also.
Definitely like her, and I think I like, I do like Pinkie Pie, like, you know, I know some people thought Pinkie Pie was kind of annoying because of how hyper she was.
Kind of extra for some people, right? Extra for some people.
But I remember, like, Dr. X once told me, he was just like, you know what, like, if any of the ponies, like, if you had sex with them, like, Pinkie Pie would be the one who would actually be very enthusiastic about them. Like, oh, yeah, you're right. So, well, then Pinkie Pie's going up on my list then.
Pinkie Pie would be down to fuck, and you just know it.
Well, yeah, for sure.
Yes.
I mean, funny how that works, is, like, back in those days, I was also, like, really into, like, the sexual part didn't really start with the lawyers, but I was sexually attracted to the ponies also. So that's kind of like my first kind of like, shall we say, teacher to sexual function, I suppose. I like reading, you know, like clonfics. The sound that ponies make when they masquerade.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's why they call it clonfics, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of a harsh sound for masturbating, though. I mean, masturbating a little too hard if you're making that kind of sound.
Yeah, damn.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't make sense at all.
I think I always liked Rarity the most, and the reason for that is that she felt like the most complex character, one of the more complex characters.
Yes. In terms of sex, Rarity, all top for me, or second.
Yeah. In terms of sexiness, I think Rarity's still up there.
Yeah. If the dress isn't you.
Now, I tried to remember who Rarity was, and now I see her. Yeah, I did always like her, and I liked Twilight, or I think as well. It was the pony that had the really cool, like, dark, like, purplish, like, veil, like, mane and stuff. I'm pretty sure that was Twilight, I think.
Is that Luna?
It might be Luna. I don't know every single one by heart.
You know them by, like, the vibes and the looks, right? I'm the same way for that in terms of, like, all the, like, the anime and, like, the mobile game characters. On my Barag, for example, I boost a lot of, like, porn of those characters. I don't actually know who the hell they are. Like vibes. Yeah, just like vibes. I can recognize them by the size, but I have no idea what the names are.
I think one of the big reasons why, like, people started to get into the porn of the pony characters is just that Friendship is Magic was just such a big upgrade in, like, every way. As a show.
Oh, yeah.
Like better characters, better character design, more expressiveness, better animation.
Yeah, the person behind the show, right, is Lauren Faust, the wife, the person who worked on Powerpuff Girls, so there's definitely, like, a lot of talent there behind it, which is why I think it was a big upgrade.
Yeah, she was a great choice for the show, and people noticed that. The show was good enough that even people outside of the TAR demographic, so that would be, like, men, adult men, we're starting to get into it.
Yes.
And you know, when that happens, it's only a matter of time before porn happens. I mean, I'm sure there's like a million, like, games or stories of, like, it's basically isekais where it's like, oh, I'm a human male adult man, and I get isekai'd into the pony world, and then one way or another, I start fucking them.
Yep.
Yeah, I think those famous games like that. I mean, this different genre is right. That one, that the psychical ones, like, banned from Equestria, and then the other one, that's the game, right? The porn game. I don't know if you guys know that one. It's a very famous MLP porn game where it is essentially, like, a guy gets transported into Ponyville and has, like, page with all the whole cast.
Yeah, I've heard of that one, yes.
I did play one. I think it was by Studio Y. I played one by Studio Y. Yeah, it's not finished yet. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I think it's well done.
Yeah, the safe word. Now the variation that's like something like my old dashi, which is like kind of reverse isekai, like Mayoba Dash, is transported to our world. And us, the human, takes care of them. That's the paternal instinct working over there.
What do you think about the pony like tits, like on the underside of their body? What do you think of that?
Now the teats, right. I'm not a fan. You bet then I was not a fan. I understood the appeal, but I'm not a fan.
I agree.
Yeah, I'm the same. It's not a fan.
It's funny how that works. Like, I don't like those parts, but I do like the anatomically wrecked whole nut, the pussy.
Yeah.
That's fine, yeah.
The horse cut, I like them.
Yeah.
those are permissible, but the teats are just a bit too far, a bit too extra for me.
Yeah, I agree with that. Of course, if someone likes it, no problem. Personally, for me, it doesn't really work for me. I think it doesn't really match what I want.
It's funny, I talk about like those preferences back in the day, but I don't actually, it doesn't get me going the same way anymore, that kind of thing. My horse cock, horse pussy. That was more, yeah, just NLP days, just a peak. I'm all in, like, Olicon. That's my preferred vice these days. You know, you can only have one vice. This is it. This is the one I've decided to settle on for the rest of my days.
Yeah, makes sense.
Good vice to have.
Yep, and yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
I remember when Hot Diggity Demon like made his MLP like parody things.
Yeah, I remember that.
Which he even said that he hated My Little Pony Friendship is Magic, but ironically when he made those animations of them, you know, getting the shit beat out of them and like doing all these weird like things, the My Little Pony fandom actually like latched onto it and really liked it, and he's just like, god damn it. So it's like it's not the intended effect. I was supposed to be. I'm mocking your show, and you.
Yeah.
So I thought that because I remember watching that, and that was pretty like much most of my exposure of the show was his parody stuff.
Yeah, it was. I think that had the opposite intended effect. You know, but actually, like everyone loved it, and like it had definitely attracted more people into the show.
Yeah, I mean, because like MLP fans, like Friendship and Magic, they love making fun of it. They love the comedy and the parodies and everything. Like, they don't take it so seriously that they're gonna, you know, I mean, at least most of them are not. They're not gonna freak out if someone has like a kind of raunchy parody like the Hot Diggity Demons ones. I mean, I thought they were funny.
Yeah, thought it was great. Yeah, those were days. Oh man, getting nostalgic about that area. But that was a whole different time. Like I. Got drama back in the day, weird stuff. I talked about like me posting to like Derby Buru, the main Buru for the MLP back in the day.
Yeah.
Like besides the whole thing about like me getting my digital tablet and getting to all the fun, like part of the reason why I'm not in that fandom anymore is actually has to do with Derby Buru. The time was ostensibly, you know, the go-to archive for all art that the fandom produced. I think around 2015 or 2016, they had a new policy for the content approvals that banned Lolicon, right?
Yeah.
Even at that time, I was a fan, right? Even at that time, I was a fan. That really, when they decided to ban Lolicon, like, made me really upset. I made Derby Buru. That was my fire hose, the content from the event. Like,
yeah.
That basically destroyed a lot of the people I was following. I couldn't keep up with them on the other side because I was too lazy. It made me really upset. So then I decided to swear off MP fandom and go all in on Lolicon. I have been like radicalized me when they banned all the con.
Radicalized you.
Yeah.
You're radicalized. I also just remembered another pony that's my favorite. That's a Vinyl Scratch or DJ Pawn 3. I even remember like the funny parodies of it where like she like uses her bass cannon, which is just like her giant speakers to like save Ponyville. I love those. That is my other favorite pony, yes.
Well, that makes sense since you like making music and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's true, right? Yeah, you liked it a lot. And her counterpart in that of like was common like shipping air on the inner club fix. I'd be like Octavia, the one who plays the shallow, right? And they can't be lesbian, so they're not permissible for us to, you know, lewd, right?
So you were a shipper? Were you a shipper?
I won't say I'm a shipper per se, but I did like reading various shipping comics, fix. I wasn't particularly obsessed with any particular pair. I just liked, just having sex with the ponies and having sex with humans, either in pony form, anthro form.
Yeah, sounds good.
Just, it was a weird time. Anything goes.
Now, when you got radicalized, as you said, to going to human Lolly, was there any particular like human Lolly characters that you got like attached to? Because I know you said you don't really go into like the anime stuff too much, but you might see like characters maybe from video games or anime that you like. Are there any that you can think of that are like your go-to favorites?
Yeah, funny you mentioned that, because I actually, I guess the whole Lolicon thing actually did start much, much earlier, like before MOP and before like the whole Lolicon banning. I think my favorite character actually was a webcomic character. I don't know if you know this artist, but back in the day, my early demon art dates, there was an artist named Believlin. He had a webcomic based off of like Western cartoons like Popoff Girls, Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy. It's a parody comics, right? Parody webcomics. And what Bleeman did was he kind of like made it into like one whole maybe crossover universe of all the early 2000s, late 90s Western cartoons. My favorite character was from one of his comics, that Grim Adventures from Down Below, which is basically where like Mandy pokes up with Grim. They have a kid. Two kids, in fact.
Nice.
One of them is a skeleton boy, and the other one's a girl. Mm-hmm. My favorite character was the girl character, Itty Mandy, essentially, or Minnie. And she, the author of upcoming Bleepin, he was Lolicon himself. So he injected a lot of that Lolicon energy into that character. And I guess it came out around 2005, the mid-2000s era. That was around when he was upping out those webcomic pages, mid to late thousands. Did draw a lot of fan art for. It's funny, I kind of don't remember this era because I was actually very young at the time. So it's a interesting character because even though like the author was like a kind of a Lolicon, like, obviously like back in the day it was more acceptable, I think, to be a Lolicon than in 2000s almost.
Yeah, it was basically like no one cared that much, it felt like, you know? It didn't get talked about very much.
Yeah.
I think even when Hydro, when I met you, when we met, even back then, I think we were maybe only at the beginning stages at most of like people like freaking out about Law and Shota.
Yes.
I don't remember thinking about it that much. I mean, pretty much what happened is that I saw Hydro was making sure Shota game, and then I messaged him, and that's basically it. I wasn't worried about the climate or anything.
This woman, about what era? Like mid 2010s, right? I think.
Yeah, this was like around 2016, something like that.
2016, 2017. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I wasn't not thinking about the climate because it wasn't in full force quite yet.
Yes.
So yeah, I mean, I believe one day we can go back to the point where no one really cares.
Yeah. Bleedman, he at the time was actually one of the most popular DeviantArt artists on DeviantArt, most followed account. I do remember it. He had one illustration where he had like a self-insert of himself, yeah, as like an artist, and it was basically him creeping on like one of the like the Western cartoon girls, like little girls, right, from the Western cartoons. That I think it was Popoff Girls being a creep towards them, self-inserting of that, and it's like, can you imagine like one of the most popular accounts on DeviantArt presenting himself as like a creepy lolicon? And that would be unthinkable today.
I mean, back then, nobody really, it didn't really bother anybody. They just kind of were like, haha, either laugh at it or they'd be like, no, I'm not really into that.
Yeah. As far as I can tell, he still does his a comic. He's been going on. We had it for 20 years.
Oh, wow, that's some big time commitment. Nice.
Yeah, it is big time commitment, but it's very slow. At one page every month, two. You know how 5 comics are. Post mostly on Twitter. I think he was one of the last holdouts actually on DeviantArt. He didn't make a Twitter until like Twitter in 2020 or something. I don't know.
So would you say that like art online was like what really got you into Lolly art?
Yes, definitely. I think Grim Adventures Down Below webcomic that he made. I love that because like I said, I didn't have cartoons at home. I could only have like pre-recorded stuff. Well, if I wanted to get like extra cartoons, like you know, more Puffa Girls, more Dexter's Lab, or Grim Adventures, his webcomic was the way.
Oh, so you did watch those shows as well?
Because obviously I couldn't watch all of it because I didn't have TV at home. But the ones that I did have, I watched and watched again and again.
Nice. Yeah, I watched a few of those the shows. Mandy really reminds me a little bit of Raven. She kind of has the same vibe in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, same vibe, right. Same kind of like...
deadpan, snarky.
Yes, exactly, yes.
And you know, like even setting aside the Loli thing, it doesn't surprise me that people get attracted to those characters or like those characters a lot, because they have personality traits that are interesting to people.
Yes.
I think sometimes when people, like, I don't know, freak out about someone liking a young character sexually, they're kind of focusing too much on the youthness.
On age, right, yeah. This time when we were younger, when we were interested in these characters, right? Like Gwen from Ben 10, for example, or like Raven, right? And we were in their age when we first got attracted.
Yeah, a lot of the time it is like that. And, you know, the only thing is that with us in the Shonen Lolly community, it's often that we didn't lose interest in them as we got older, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But we can obviously, as adults, we can also get into those Lolly and Shota characters, even if we hadn't, like, seen them in our youth.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, those characters, like, we can appreciate them even aside from the Lolly and Shota stuff. So it's like, it's not the only reason we necessarily like those characters, right?
Yep. Yeah, I noticed, like, Gwen and Raven on Twitter especially. I actually don't have Twitter. I don't use Twitter at all. I never use Twitter much, even though I have an account there.
Good choice, honestly. But
I noticed that sometimes they cut the cat with the blind spot of those characters, right? Twitter is always permissible. It's always okay. Almost okay. Like, because everyone's like in that mode of mind where, like, oh yeah, I love her when I was younger. And I still like her. It was okay.
Yeah, it's just like maybe Raven's canonically 16 or whatever, but you just bump her up to 18, basically.
I get a jail freak, right?
Right. So it's very, it can be very selective, right?
Yep. Yeah, it's pretty weird.
Like, for example, Nimona. To me, she comes across as someone in her teens, but like still younger than 18. She's from Pokemon, the newest one.
Yeah, Scarlet and Violet, yeah.
But the kind of like the internet or the Twitter sphere collectively decided it's okay to loot her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Where it's like, you know, wherever the dice rolls or dice falls on whether it's okay to loot a character or not.
Yeah, it's just vibes, man.
Yeah. So nowadays, do you usually just draw OCs, or do you draw, do you still do fan art?
So, yeah, I basically just draw, like, OCs. Honestly, I wouldn't necessarily call them OCs, because it's a bit implies that I'm more invested in them than I actually am. There's some, like, repeat characters I've done, but they don't have names or stories or, like, personalities. It's just, they're just things I like to sexualize, scenarios I like to play back.
Like, what are said scenarios?
I have a kind of, like, fascination with kind of, like, the kind of, like, escort or, like, prostitution kind of scenarios, almost. So I kind of like scenarios where, like, the girl is getting something in exchange for doing the deed with the guy, right? But actually doesn't know better, so she has no notion of, like, the kind of, like, really lopsided, like, value scales of what he's giving versus what she's giving up.
Oh, so is it like he's giving like $10 and she has sex with him or something?
Yeah, like even less than that. He's giving, like, I don't know, like 100 Robux.
Roma.
No, 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 Robux or whatever. What's the currency of Fortnite? I don't know.
V-Bucks. V-Bucks.
V-Bucks, right.
I don't know. So, some of those Fortnite skins are expensive. So if they give him like 1,000 V-Bucks, that's a lot. So...
Okay, that's true, right? But yeah, I like the kind of scenarios that play at, like, the innocent naivete of the characters.
Yeah, that's fun.
That's one mood. It's one mood. I have another mood where I really like the more, like, like, precocious kind of, like, character that's, like, more mature, perhaps a bit too mature for her age.
Like a more sexually experienced kind of girl?
Yes. Yeah, I won't say necessarily sexually experienced, but more, like,
more assertive.
Yet more assertive or conscious of the baby. Certain people like myself, I look at her.
Oh yeah, so more aware of that she's being seen sexually than...
Yes. Kyle, it's totally like, totally different opposite ends, right? But I have different booze and I flop between them. I know if it's kind of difficult, that's why I don't really like putting into words what I'm interested in, because like, it varies a lot with the types. Well, I'm actually pretty vanilla, as considered, I think.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting. I, you know, Sheldon Lolly's scene is like, oh, it's so far away from vanilla. But honestly, I think my own interests are very vanilla.
Yeah, honestly, like
even including Sheldon Lolly, I don't feel like I'm that like far out there, honestly.
It's like some more like people who are like not into like Lolly or Shota, but like outside, like more like into like humiliation or like BDSM or some of that. That's all cool.
Yeah, exactly.
From my perspective, I think that's less vanilla than what I'm into.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Kind of interesting how far other people go when they're not including Shota and Lolly.
Yes.
Like it could be like Guru or, you know, humiliation or NTR, like war, inflation, you name it. And, you know, like we said, that's all good, you know, but it does feel less vanilla than Shonen Lolly for me personally. Yeah, you can get some like really wholesome stuff with Shonen Lolly. Absolutely. Like,
yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Or just like two people in love having sex and it's not like, you know, nothing really far out there.
Yes. For minimum, for me, I do like to play at scenarios, but there's definitely that kind of like imbalance, like power imbalance. Like, obviously, that's like one of the like essentials in like any kind of like romantic, almost like especially in like ships or like romance books. This definitely like people like to play that power imbalance between like the person on top of the couple and the bottom of the couple, any bit at least.
Oh, absolutely. That shit is super fucking popular. Yeah, like I know one is like enemies to lovers. That's a big one.
Yeah, exactly.
Because obviously when you involve enemies, that implies it's some kind of power imbalance or at least a power struggle. People like rivals. People like a superior and the person under them, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, all this stuff adds spice to it.
Spice and conflict and balance, yeah, that's it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I need to say, like, that's kind of, honestly, like, read a vanilla compared to, like, stuff I was into, like, back in the day. I think ponies, it is kind of weird, right? Because, like, you know, the cartoon animals, no shade, like, but, like, just looking at that back in the era, you know, I was like, wow. I really like seeing like anatomically realistic, what's called, to go inside anatomically realistic cartoon pony pussies. So that was an era, right?
Yeah, it is interesting. And I was also talking about this with Hydro the other day, is that like, oh yeah, we went through that whole era of like Friendship is Magic. Initially, people were like weirded out by it, whatever, you know, people sexualizing the ponies. And then it feels like people mostly got over it. And then like after that, you started seeing people like do the Pokemon Smasher Pass stuff. And people like talking about like which Pokemon they'd fuck, which Pokemon they want to get fucked by and stuff, and like obviously a lot of those Pokemon, they're on four legs, right? So I was actually thinking, man, like Friendship is Magic kind of paved the way for that,
yeah,
for people not to freak out so much about like fictional creatures.
And sensitized.
Maybe not normalized, but like kind of like, yeah, desensitized, you could say. Are people like, you know, it's not really a big deal. They don't actually exist.
Is that the weirdest thing we've seen today?
No, it's not. I think that's cool. I think it's cool because it's like it added more acceptance. Like it's more acceptable now to say like, yeah, I'd fuck Charizard and, you know, stuff like that. And I think that's cool. And I think one day we'll also get with that with Lola and Shota.
I don't know. Vibes have been like really sliding as decade.
I understand, you know, people have concerns about it. I'm not discounting that, but you know, kind of work we do, we have to believe in things being able to get better.
Yeah, I do. I actually do still believe things will get better, but
yeah,
it's been rough, right?
Yeah, I know. We don't know the exact timeline, and, you know, and I do like to point out, remind people that in the past it wasn't seen as such a big deal. You know, if it was possible back then. I mean, we're all still humans. It's still the Homo sapiens race, right?
Yep.
We didn't evolve into a different species. Like, if we did it before, we can do it again, right? We don't, you know, freak out about it.
Hopefully, slowly, common sense will definitely prevail in the end. But yeah, you know, some of us can't wait, but it's definitely a struggle.
I remember, you know, I was doing research the other day, and there was this study done by a big medical institution in, I think, Denmark or whatever, and they were basically discussing a law on whether to ban Lolly or Shota or not.
Specifically for Lolly and Shota?
Well, specifically for, you know, porn of fictional underage characters, basically.
Okay, interesting.
And so basically that medical institution came to the conclusion that those fictional depictions do not increase the chance for abuse, which I fully agree with and believe, because in the end, you know, if people have that outlet, a fictional outlet that doesn't hurt anyone, it's gonna make people safer, right?
Yeah.
And I think if we do more research on it and we accept the research and the findings, then we can that will help pave the way towards better attitudes towards this stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
I have faith in that happening. Because the evidence is out there, you know, the evidence is out there, the research is out there. And, you know, of course, we could always use more research. But, you know, if people like, you know, open their minds to the reality that this kind of art can help prevent abuse, then that can really change how people think about it. Right.
Yeah, I am actually so hopeful. I always consider I'm hopeful to get better in the future.
We really want everyone to feel there is hope. It's not only like the vibe I want the podcast to give off, but it is my personal belief as well. But yeah, you know, and you know, in any case, I love doing this podcast and having people on, because it really does help people, because people have contacted us or left a comment or whatever and said that the podcast has made their day.
I'm at blood.
Yeah, because they want to feel like they're not alone and stuff. Yeah,
made them feel more accepting of themselves too when they've been kind of in a challenging way. And it basically, like, it's great that our podcast is kind of giving a voice to people too, to be able to kind of like, if they wanted to talk with someone about, you know, Lolly and Shota, but they couldn't, but they could listen to the podcast and be like, oh, this is great, being able to hear about this stuff, you know, talking with different guests and just Dr. X and myself.
Yeah, they're feeling seen.
Exactly, you know, feeling seen, you know, being affirmed and stuff like that. There was one thing I want to ask you, Wisteria, is that, so you mentioned the kind of power imbalance thing with, do you like both, like, where the, you know, the adult man is in power and also where the lolly's in power? Do you like both?
I prefer the first scenario more. I do like some scenarios when it does involve like the femdom kind of thing, right? Of Molyom kind of thing. It kind of changes slowly the tides, you know?
It's like a mood thing.
Yes, yeah, a mood thing, right. So these days I'm on the first scenario more.
Like in terms of looks, like, do you have like a type that you especially like for lollies?
I do prefer kind of like the more like dainty, athletic kind of appearance. I know some people with two extreme ends, like chubby, or they like them like stick figure. Closer to the stick figure end, honestly. The frigid body kind of, but describe the flat fridge body kind of look.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, it totally flat, not even, well, you know, maybe not totally flat. It's a little bit of a bump on the chest. A little bit.
Some budding breasts, just budding stuff.
It's a tiny bit, the tiniest bit.
Mosquito bites.
Admit that.
It's always interesting to hear like people's preferences on the stuff, because it can literally range. Like some people might like them a little older, maybe like around 12 or something. Some people might like them like, I don't know, like not even budding breasts, like totally flat.
Yeah, yeah. For me, the age group, perhaps, I guess, would be like maybe 6 to 8. It's like peak for me.
Oh, 6 to 8. Nice.
Yes, I think. And that's not to say that I don't like him a bit younger, a bit older. Like, well, totally fine. 5, totally fine also.
I don't have your art in front of me right now, so I can't check. But I do seem to recall you kind of did like the pec. You do some of the pec muscles in the lollies.
Yes, yeah, like I said, I like the athletic kind of like, not just an athletic actually, it's a bit raw. I like gymnastics, kind of like dancer type girls who are like really good at ballets and that very slim kind of like look, right?
Yeah, so kind of lean a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Kind of obsessed with that kind of figure, kind of physique.
Yeah, it looks great. I'm going to look forward to looking at your art again once I have it in front of me.
Yeah, I've been looking at some stuff lately. But I have not posted. I barely post anything. I'm on hiatus, essentially, right? So I don't really have time to manage my manager as it's online on top of just, you know, casually consuming it. Because I always boost. I boost all day, every day, people's art I like. I think on my timeline, see it, I'll boost it, I'll favorite. I love it all. I love showing people stuff I like. And it's probably why I have so many followers. I not post it, not post it, for years, basically.
you're like a curator in a way.
Yeah, I guess. Yes. What do you say that, right?
Are you planning to return to doing art in the future?
I do draw all the time, actually. So, well, not all the time. I still draw quite deep eyes. Only my eyes and eyes of the closest people closest to me, essentially. Boy, for example, he would be, I stream a lot. They're all in like private channel and me draw, shares art we like. But besides that, I don't post it. I've got a lot of stuff I never posted. Which is why, like, last time I did post, which I think was about December, ran out some August, right? No, September now. Yeah, December. It's been a hot minute. I just dumped a bunch of stuff, like dozens of drawings I've done. I'll probably do that, yeah, later this year.
Oh, it's cool. I'm looking forward to that.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I look forward to that drop. A cargo cult.
Now, in the previous episode, we talked to someone who prefers blonde hair. Do you have any kind of like hair color preference?
I think I like black hair the most. Like jet black hair. Like black, black. It's not the funnest thing to draw sometimes. But we said you wouldn't like to paint. Actually, no, it's easy to draw also, actually. Not that fulfilling. So I do like to draw blonde hair a lot, actually. That's my second favorite, probably. I like it a lot.
Nice, nice.
I definitely like to like mix it up into one picture. But I did have that illustration where, like, I have, like, a darker skin girl and a lighter skin girl, and, like, day, her colors are opposites. Like, black hair for one, and, like, on every other is yin yang, and, say, like, it's, like, it's a good classic composition.
I think it's a nice combo, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I like girls more for their, like, kind of most unsexual figures almost, right? The legend stuff. But yeah, a lot of the stuff I do lately have been safe for work, I think. I think the stuff I've posted lately has been safe for.
So it's just kind of, like, girls enjoying life. Sort of art.
Yeah, I hardly draw porn. It's kind of weird. Consider myself not safe for work artist, I think. But what I like to do, actually, is even for the stuff I draw that does not feature anything like sexual, that's safe for work, I like to inject my sexual energy into it, you know? Like, unambiguously, that's the charts picture, even though there's nothing sexual happening in it.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about, yeah. Kind of reminds me a little bit of what Orenji was talking about.
Yeah, episode 2. Yeah, it was an interesting episode.
It was.
The guy behind the big meme. Amazing.
Yeah, he was a great guest.
I mean, sometimes when you draw something that is, like, sexually charged, or at least, like you said, you put your, like, sexual energy into it, even though it might be safe for work or won't have anything, it's like you can sometimes sense it from it, or it will make the NSFW stuff even more, like, appealing potentially, because yeah. you're leading up into it. Like I like showing off like a Loli character or Shota character like in a safe for work setting, like if it was in a comic or whatever where they're, you know, they're fully clothed and all, but there's like certain angles or poses or something, and then it leads into the NSFW, and it's a lot more satisfying.
Yeah, I like that kind of build up. It's almost like foreplay, I suppose. I do love turning things, turning like kind of innocent, white and non-sexual situations to something that's like, if you know, you know. If you don't, you don't. Right.
Oh yeah, like that's a ton of fun, especially like because that, like, I love it when you have comics or just stories or draw or like drawing sequences where it starts off like as if it could be like a safer word comic that anybody could read, right? Like anybody could enjoy, and all of a sudden it goes bam into like the NSFW stuff.
Oh yeah,
that's always a lot of fun, because you know, because I think that stems with me, it stems from like me thinking about like shows like the Powerpuff Girls or Billy and Mandy or any of those shows, and like just thinking about, yeah, but what would have happened though if Billy took out his dick and then Mandy was or whatever, like all that stuff is just fun to think about. And then you try to make it a reality with your drawings.
The tuning stuff is mundane and trying to like figure out how we can make it twisted, right? Almost.
Hydro and I were watching Elusive Samurai the other day, and Hydro, did you feel like the anime was a little bit horny? It's a little bit.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, like I mean, there is like that. There definitely is that vibe going on with it, and not just with the main character, like pretty much all the Loli Shota characters. And of course there was that like adult character who like tried kissing the Shota and stuff to wake him up, and like a lot of funny stuff like that is
kind of makes you wonder like the creator and like what their preferences are.
Yes.
And there's also the this was the moment where the Shota was pretty much hugging that adult man and blushing. And I remember being on Brag and someone posted that screen cap of that, and they're like, I don't remember exactly what they said, but they're pretty much implying, oh yeah, they're fucking.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun guessing like, what artist does, like, and they're not when Nuna was looking, right? what are they drawing when they're looking?
Oh, absolutely, yes, yeah.
I feel like people who like Lolly and Shota characters, but they like never say whether they're into the NSFW side. I feel like there's proportionally a lot of people that are into the NSFW, but just won't say it openly. I'm sure that's the case.
It's fun to guess, but like I tried to not like be so sure of myself, you know. But sometimes people are just really into the NSF stuff. In my opinion, there are a lot of people who are secretly into it. And not so secretly, like, for example, some other famous examples, I Made in Abyss, you know, like, the guy behind that is a fucking, like whoa.
oh yeah, he's super horny for that stuff, yes.
Good. Good.
This guy is, somebody stop him. Oh, you know what I mean? This man has to be stopped.
Well, I think Renji even mentioned being followed by him on Twitter. Yeah.
He was pretty hyped when that happened, yeah.
Dude, only on King Dream. Yeah, that's one of those cases where, like, yeah, in the work itself, there's very, very obvious sense of it, and yeah, turns out, totally, you got him. He's that. I'm totally lost. Oh, he gets away with it.
Well, it's kind of like with Rebecca Sugar, right, in Steven Universe, where she, like, drew that Ed and Eddie porn and stuff way back, but it didn't affect her success at all. She still made Steven Universe.
Oh, yeah, too big to fail. Is that too big to fall?
And you have to wonder if, like, she wanted to, like, do certain things in Steven Universe, but was just like, no, darn, I can't go that far.
Yeah.
God, that would have been great. But I think with creators like them, like if a creator is like really good at what they're doing, then people are more likely to overlook it, I feel like.
Yeah, turn a blind eye.
Because, you know, because I've had like normie friends who probably if you asked them, they'd be against Lolly and Shota, but they still like Made in Abyss, even though Made in Abyss is kind of horny.
Yeah, it's funny. I think it's really funny because like, it could have been not up as considered, but like, in terms of like how young the characters look and like how the kind of scenarios, he's good at what he does. I'm jealous.
Yeah, it's like, and to me, it feels like that's a little hint that we can like get people not to care so much about it.
As I think.
Yeah, I've talked to my IRL friends a little bit, and depending on how you explain it to them, they can warm up a little bit on, you know, not freaking out about Lolly and Shota.
Yeah, as far as I can tell, author for Made in Abyss, he basically doesn't care what anyone thinks, right? He just does it.
Good.
Does he post on social media? Poppy uses Twitter, right? But does he actually pay attention to Adele?
I mean, he must if he followed Orenji. But
yeah, you're right.
I don't know, actually.
I wonder if he followed Orenji for the little girl GF thing.
Definitely, right. A lot of people did, I think.
He did. He did, I think.
Damn.
Because it got so popular and like it started trending.
I mean, with Mont Normies, right? It got so popular.
And then I think he saw it and he probably liked it and followed Orenji.
Yeah.
Because it was prior to when Orenji got banned, like off of the, which was dumb. But luckily he got reinstated. But that was right before that happened. The Made in Abyss person like followed Orenji.
Yeah, it got so popular. You know the artist account on Twitter that does the nuns, the cartoon anime nuns?
Yes, yeah.
yes, yep.
Yeah, they also did a parody of that, I think. And they didn't get dunked on it for, and they did it, and basically lost it to the ether. I don't even remember what the image looked like now, but that was like one of those normie accounts.
It was like frog GF, but the GF stood for good friend.
Yeah, it was very, very innocent and wholesome. It was very, like there was nothing bad about it at all.
Yeah, shame.
Still, I'm glad that it got popular enough that even like wholesome, kind of not even having to do with Lolly and Shota, parodies were made too. So that's pretty cool on Renji's part. It was a great concept.
Yeah. Yeah, that kind of thing that happens on my Twitter, on the rest of the internet, it's kind of like why I basically only do Brag. been Bara. I've been on Bara since the very beginning, essentially late 2017 in Bara. Got shot in mid 2017.
Yeah, that's crazy because I forgot when we learned about Barag in the first place, but 2017 was when we were developing IA1. I was developing it with Hydro.
Yeah.
But we had no idea Barag existed. So Barag really exploded the past few years, really.
Yeah, you were developing on all of Fallen, right?
Yes.
The Fallen actually used to have a Mastodon instance before Barag did, immediately before Barag did. I was the only user.
Oh, really?
Ooh, interesting.
I was the user of All the Fallen back in 2017, and they had a Mastodon instance that I signed up to. I think social.allthefallen.ninja or something. I was the only user. He decided to sunset it because no one using it except me.
That's kind of surprising, too, considering how many people use Barag.
All right, yeah.
I guess it didn't catch on at the time. They were too attached to the ATF forums.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess it kind of makes sense because, like, the people who browse ATF, no offense, but it's kind of old-fashioned. Use forums now, you know?
Yeah, there's an element of old-fashionedness. It would be nice to see a little more overlap between Barag and ATF.
Well, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I do think it's really important that the Law Initiative communities stop being so isolated from each other, because that way it can become a lot stronger.
I'm of two minds. On the other hand, I think the compartmentalization almost is kind of a defense mechanism.
Yeah.
The compartmentalization of the ship and the sinking ship, obviously, doors are sealed when by disaster strikes, so that you contain the problems in one part of the ship.
It's good that there's multiple sites.
Yeah.
If one is like going through some database stuff, then the other one's still going to be up there. And you know, ATF may not be for everyone, but I do think it's super important. I mean, that past episode we just did with Yup, he was talking about how much ATF helped his mental health. So that's great. And, you know, it's the same thing for Bragg. I'm sure there's people who are like, no, I know for a fact there's people who like Bragg means so much to them because they can express themselves there without like worrying about being shamed.
Yeah, it's like a haven from all the haters on my Twitter and other mainstream social media sites. There was a time when Bragg, we had to turn off the Federation and like the visibility of the site temporarily due to traffic issues where it basically made it so that only users of the site could view the site, could view Barag. And a lot of people were saying back in the time that they liked it that way because they felt safe. They preferred Barag to be rough, insular, closed down forever. Yeah, these are the kind of people that, you know, they kind of need that kind of thing the most, right?
Also, please support Barag if you like it and you're able to.
Yes.
Yes.
Since it does require quite a bit of money.
Yeah, so to support Barag, there's a subscribe star, but we have had issues with the subscribe star lately.
Yeah, it's been a pain in the ass.
Got shocks going on. It's kind of funky. Who are currently subscribed are able to, but you can't get new subscriptions on a subscribe star. So we have a boosty now. I'm kind of wary of it, but it is currently the next best option.
What about Fanbox?
MLS is also an option. I think some people might have issues with it.
If you registered on Fanbox like a while ago, you can't still use PayPal.
I think so, right.
If you're a completely new user, you won't be able to use PayPal. However, like you'll be able to use like your like Visa card or whatever. But that's the same thing as SubscribeStar, so it's not like a huge difference.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Right.
But if people can people are able to and you like Barag and you want to support Barag and all of its artists, being able to post any kind of fictional art you want, please consider supporting Barag on SubscribeStar. If you're already there, you can continue supporting, or you can do it on Boosty, or you can do it on Fanbox. Please consider doing so. I think Barag also accepts crypto if you're into that stuff. So that's another way to donate.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely avenues, and you know, Barag's a really important community. You know, there's other communities out there that are big too, like Wisteria, like where you were saying, like, you know, some people, they only hang out on like Athe, and other people might only hang out in ATF, but you know, all these sites are important to keep the communities, you know, growing and having a safe haven for people to post whatever they want with regards to Lolly Shota or really anything. And so always, if you can support, definitely do so.
Athe, for the listeners from Athe. Now some people on Pomp, for All the Fallen, you would probably listen to this. Support those too. Well, TV is really important. Like, there's no other place in my, as far as I can tell, there's no other place besides Pop-Up TV to live stream.
Yeah, Iratu is doing a great job.
Yeah, insane.
So please support him as well. Yeah, he is similar to Koi, spending his own personal money on Pomp. So please help him out.
Yeah.
But you know, it was a fantastic discussion with you, Wisteria, and I'm really glad we had you on.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Really interesting discussion.
Glad to be on.
Yeah, on ponies and lollies and all that other stuff.
Yeah, I bet still be talking about My Little Pony as much as I did.
Well, you know, it was inevitable because of your name and also your avatar.
Yeah, right. Yes, yeah. But I should have known better.
It was going to be brought up. Now, if people wanted to follow you to see when you do your awesome art dump, possibly later on in the year, where can they find you on Barog?
I am only on barog.net/Wisteria. That's Wisteria the flower with a Y, aka the pony. I do have a website, but I don't really use it. I have a bluesky.social also, just wisteriareed.art. I'll be find that on my Rug profile.
Cool. So if anybody would like to take a look at Wisteria's art that Wisteria's been making and possibly ones that come out in the future, be sure to join the Barog and check it out.